Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And today is Tuesday, May the 21st. I want to welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We have some special announcements coming up today. And also, we want to say good morning to all of our listeners. Now, Noah's here with us in the studio, but he's had some throat problems. I think I finally passed mine off to him. And so I want to welcome our listeners right here on WATA 1450. And also our Saturday broadcast to our listeners on 690 AM WZAP over in Bristol, Virginia. And then on 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. We appreciate Brother Lamar Whittemore, and we appreciate the ministry that God has given them with the radio station. That is such a blessing, and we appreciate them letting us come and be on Saturdays as well. We'd love to hear from our listeners, and we do from time to time, so we appreciate that. But I want to say right off the bat today that our thoughts and prayers are going out to those victims of the tornado out in Moore, Oklahoma. And that's just a tragic circumstance. I hated that so bad. And we're praying for the people there. Some of our listeners probably know Brother Mark Hodges. He's a missionary, and he is in Oklahoma. Not near where that was, but east of that. And I was texting him last night. Brother Freed's here with us this morning as well, so I'm talking to him, looking at him. But I was texting Brother Hodges last night about that, and they did have to get in their shelter, and it got pretty rough right through there, but they did not have a tornado, and thank the Lord for that. So pray for Brother Mark Hodges, his wife Robin, their family, Sarah and Isaiah. We appreciate them. I got to go out there and preach last May, and Preacher Michael Green, he just got back a couple of weeks ago. So we know the folks out there, and so our heart really goes out to those people. Let me mention, next Monday, May the 27th, that is Memorial Day. And I wanted to mention and invite our local listeners to the Boone Mall at 11 a.m. They're going to have their Memorial Day observance. I went last year. It was really good. And to see the veterans come together, and they have a little a program, I'm going to say, a ceremony. Somebody will talk. They post the colors. The American Legion is involved. It's really a good thing. And that's next Monday, the 27th at 11 a.m. in the Boone Mall. And so I wanted to make those announcements. And as I've already said, Brother Dan Freed is with us again. I really enjoyed having him last week. Brother Freed, thank you for being back this morning.
It's my privilege to be here.
Sure. Amen. Is. Amen. We've been looking forward to it. The meeting coming up.
Yes.
That starts Wednesday.
Right. That's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
The 22nd. So let's remember that. I'll give you some specifics. Tomorrow, Wednesday, May the 22nd, this is on George Wilson Road, the Bible Way Baptist Church. Brother Michael Green, many of you know Brother Michael. He's the pastor there, and it starts tomorrow night at 7 p.m. The service is going to start, and Brother Freed is going to be preaching. Also, Brother Tony Hudson is going to be in the area. He's going to be preaching. This is Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. And then on Thursday, beginning at 1:30, they're going to have afternoon services. And so that'll be on Thursday and Friday, starting at 1:30. So we're looking forward to that. And if you have any questions, you could call myself. You could call Brother Michael. There's a phone number on here as well, 770-943-6454. But we're looking forward to that. Now, our church is going to be Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're going to move our service up tomorrow night.
Amen.
And we're going to come up to Bible Way, and we're going to be there in the service tomorrow night. And so I wanted to mention that. Brother Freed, you come this morning. I you mentioned this a little bit last week, but just, you know, not everybody knows who you are. If you could just give a testimony, and I love to hear you tell about when you got saved, when you come to know the Lord. So you just come tell us a little bit about yourself and also about your ministry, the Hope of Israel Baptist Mission.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, preacher, and some 37 years ago, I found myself very depressed, and my uncle was a famous rabbi, Rabbi Shepherd Baum, and got word while I was serving in the military that he was run over by a car, and he was in his 80s, and he died in 10 minutes. And so I took a leave of absence, and even shortly thereafter, my grandfather also died. So it happened around the same time. I was just very devastated. And the thing was, normally for a Jewish family, if they're somewhat religious, they sit Shiva. Shiva stands for really like the number seven. And for 7 days, they mourn those that have died. So when I came over there and they were sitting Shiva, I really was alarmed at the fact that though they were mourning, they had absolutely no hope whatsoever. I thought to myself, if this is the Judaism that our forefathers taught about, I don't really want to have much about it, because if there's no hope in the afterlife, what's the sense of even living in this life?
And he was a rabbi. If anybody should.
He should have. His family should have had some hope. Now, among the Orthodox Jews, they have somewhat even equivalent to what a purgatory time during the year. Their soul is pretty much kind of hovering. And a lot of the basis of whether they enter into what we would call the pearly gates, it depends on the good deeds of the family. And so, of course, the family is mourning. They not only mourn for 7 days, but they mourn for 30 days. And then during the rest of the year until we get to the anniversary, there is essentially a time where the family is to just do everything right, and so there'd be no hindrance of the one that died to enter in, see?
Yeah.
And but during this whole episode, they are just absolutely without hope, without peace whatsoever, even after the time of mourning. Seems like they just perpetually mourn. And even when I went into the synagogue, a lot of times, you know, I'd go into the synagogue. Most time, if I went into the synagogue, I was already somewhat depressed, wasn't happy, you know. This world does not offer anybody any true peace. The peace that the world offers is just very temporal. But I'm seeking eternal peace. I'm seeking the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm seeking true peace that I'm forgiven of my sins and so forth. So I'm there with my family, and I thought, you know, maybe I'd find the answer if I went to my uncle's library, because my uncle was a famous person. He actually was commissioned by the United States government to sit on the Eichmann trials to represent the United States over there in the Eichmann trials in Israel, and he's very, very well-known rabbi in the United States. And I felt that if he was so close to God, and I thought he was, he would have the answer in his library,
right?
How to get this peace, right? Now, some years before, I asked my uncle a question. I said, Uncle Shep, I have some Arab friends, you know, and they believe in Muhammad and all that, and I have some Catholic friends, so forth. And I said, what happens to them when they die? You know, I know that I, being Jewish, I pretty much got a ticket to heaven. That's the way I was taught.
Yes.
You know, you're born a Jewish person, you die a Jewish person, you're going to get to heaven. I mean, we are God's chosen people. Don't ever forget that. That's the, you know, pretty much mentality that
right.
I was raised. And there was somewhat of a prideful attitude about it, but still, we're God's chosen people. And I said, what about my Hindu friend, you know? What about my buddies? And My Uncle Shep, who was an Orthodox rabbi, gave me this analogy. He said, heaven is like the old city Jerusalem. And, of course, the old city Jerusalem has these gates all around. And he said, in a roundabout way, every gate represents one of these major religions. He says, if you're a Buddhist, you go through the Buddhist gate. If you're a Catholic, go through Catholic gate. Of course, all that time, that didn't make any sense to me, okay?
Right.
But this is an Orthodox rabbi giving me this analogy, all right? This somewhat philosophy of how to get to heaven if you're not Jewish. And he says, when you get to the middle of Jerusalem, he said, that's heaven. So that every religion finds its way to heaven in their own way, basically, right?
Right.
Well, preacher, I'm telling you, that didn't make a lick of sense. And I wasn't very educated or anything like that, but that just did not make any sense. And when I was a little boy, it was drilled in my head to recite the Shema. That's Deuteronomy 6:4 and other portions. The Lord our God is one Lord. And all these other religions, I thought, believed in many gods. And so my uncle's telling me that if my non-Jewish friends are going to have a way to get into heaven through their own religion. It didn't make any sense. I had no peace about that, and I just could not settle on that at all. So that then put doubt on my own faith. I mean, if you can be a Buddhist and get to heaven believing in all these thousands of, you know, images and gods that they, if you could be a Hindu and believe in reincarnation, if you could believe in, Islam and believe that you're going to heaven, then where does Judaism stand? See, it didn't make sense.
Right, and it does. That doesn't make
sense. It don't make a lick of sense. I remember the story of Moses like yesterday. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai, he basically, you know, he asked God to, you know, I preach this message a lot of times, and many preachers do. The message is titled, Show Me Thy Glory. Right? You probably preach that.
Yes.
Show me thy glory. Uh-huh. Amen. But a lot of times we fail to miss the verses before that where he's actually crying out to God and he says, show me thy way. Show me the way. So you can't get to the glory of God unless you go to the way of God.
Right.
You have to be in the way. So that's why even in the New Testament, those who were following the Messiah, they were said to be known those that were of that way.
Right.
So the way is a phraseology among the Jewish people that the Jewish people have the way. God has raised them up to be a light to the Gentiles of that way. See?
Right.
So when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in first coming and he says, I am the way. See, to the Jewish mind, it fits. So I want to know the way.
Right.
I want to know how to get to the way of my forefathers. I want to know the same way that Moses found out about. So I went to my uncle's library. There he had about 10,000 books. And as I'm taking different books out, I started saying, well, maybe let me see if my Buddhist friend can really get to heaven. I read a little bit about Buddhism and Zen Buddhism and all that. I said, boy, I don't know. I don't see how anybody get them in that way. Then I took the book of Quran, you know, the Islamic Bible. And though it sounds similar to the Tanakh, the Old Testament, I just wasn't turned on by that at all. And then what really got me mad was when I read the story about Abraham taking his only begotten son up to Mount Moriah. Well, the story is pretty accurate, but they miss one thing. They deliberately take away the name of the son. They don't mention the name of the son.
No. Isaac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know. I'm a Jew. Every Jewish person knows who that son is. Why did they take that name out? Well, then on the bottom, there's a little commentary. Yeah. They said, well, the name of that son was Ishmael. I say, that is the biggest lie I've ever heard in my life. So no wonder that these dear Arab people have been lied to. They think they're the promised seed. Now we understand why Islam hates the Jews and hates Israel and wants them to be destroyed, because in their minds, they are the heathen, the Jews are,
right,
and the Arabs are the chosen people of God.
Yeah. See? And that says that in the Quran.
In the Quran.
I did not know that.
In the commentary,
yes. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So so anyway, I got rid. I rejected that. I rejected Buddhism. I rejected. Here's something I just. It's really laughable, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm just kind of like Elijah who mocked those false prophets, right? I was studying on Hinduism, man, very exotic religion, you know, and in Hinduism, essentially, the goal is to reach the highest karma,
right.
And that's really, you get to the highest karma, buddy, you have made it. And they said, if you're lucky, now you come back reincarnated, and I thought this was quite amusing, but you become, if you're a real good Hindu, you're privileged to come back as a flying cockroach. I thought to myself.
What a blessing.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
What if somebody got mad at me and just stomped their foot on me? What a way to go, right? It's squishing. I rejected this. I mean, that defies even common sense.
Right.
You know, so then reincarnation, you become a flying cockroach, you could become a cow. The poor people are starving to death over there in India because they're afraid their great-great-grandmother may be a cow. I mean, folks, come on. This is beyond the God-given sense, you know, that he's given to us. But beside that, it just didn't make any sense to me. There was no personal relationship with their God in any of these religions.
Right.
I want a personal relationship, preacher. Listen, when I grew up as a little Jewish boy, I had three questions that bothered me. Number one, if there is a God in heaven, I sure want to talk to him. And I would like him to talk to me.
Right.
That's not anything too much to ask. If there is a heaven, I like to know how to get there.
Be nice to go.
It'd be nice to go. I want to know the way to heaven.
Yeah.
And if there is a hell that I heard about, I don't want to go there. So
right.
None of these religions could answer those three questions, right? So while I'm about ready to give up hope, and I was very, very depressed. I was very depressed and couldn't figure out what life was all about. Now, if you're a listener out there, and you might be asking the same question that I asked 37 years ago, why in the world was I born? Is I just born to die? Is that all life is, just to be born? You live this life the best you can, then you die, and that's the end of that? That does not make any sense whatsoever. There has to be more to life. Just the fact that there is a creator. You look at the birds, you look at the flowers. Could all this just kind of poof, just come about without a creator? Everything has a creator. Someone created a watch. Someone created an engine. There is a creator to these things. And I believe one thing that convinced me there had to be a God and there had to be a right way of life was because there was so much wickedness in this world. And brother, did I taste the life of wickedness. I was like Paul, the chiefest of sinners.
Right.
I mean, man alive, and none of that stuff, none of the drugs, none of the party life, none of that stuff could bring me any true happiness. I never had any peace. So I knew there had to be something better out there.
Right.
Something that was true, something that was sincere, something was pure, unadulterated, and that's what I was searching for, right? I didn't know there was a verse in the Bible that says, if you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me.
Right.
I didn't know that was in the Bible, you know? And so while I'm about ready to give up total hope that I'm going to be able to find this way, I look in the most sacred part of my uncle's library. There he had ancient books worth tens of thousands of dollars. My auntie actually said that whole section was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Today, those books are in museums around the world. Now, had I been maybe a little bit smarter, I would have not only done what I'm going to tell you I did, but I would have taken those books, hallelujah, and then I guess I would have been a rich Jew.
Yeah.
All right, but anyway, here's the fact of the matter. There was a little black book. I'd say it was probably about, I don't know, what was that, about 3.5, 4 inches?
Yes.
And it was wedged in the middle of these very large books, and they were very thin and very large.
You told me they were handwritten, some of them.
Yes, sir. They were handwritten in Hebrew. The artwork was done by hand.
Right.
And they're over 300 years old. They're worth thousands of dollars. Well, I wasn't interested in that. What bothered me was this, what was this little black book doing wedged in the middle of these large books? Yeah. Just kind of curiosity killed the cat, right?
I guess, yeah.
So I took this little black book, and on the cover it says Holy Scriptures. I go to my auntie. I said, Auntie, maybe this is where I'm going to find the way. She looks at it and says, boy. She said, what the God you be like Rabbi Shep, you know?
Uh-huh.
She thought I had the Torah, the first five books of Moses, because that's what Holy Scriptures signify to Jewish people. Little did she know, when I got back to where I was stationed, I started reading it, and I found out there was more books in there, and there was the Tanakh. That was what we would consider today the Old Testament, right? And then I started reading. My Uncle Shep never told me about these books, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, John. So Uncle Shep never told me about those books. So I figured if it was good enough for him, it was good enough for me. Amen?
Right.
And I started reading those. And God started to show me that that Jesus Christ of the New Testament was the Messiah foretold in the Old Testament. God also showed me that I was a no good, rotten, low down, depraved, stinking sinner. I never knew that.
Right.
I thought I was a righteous Jew, and I thought I merited going to heaven. But God showed me all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And all our righteousness is filthy rags. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. I was a sinner, and I was a condemned sinner, but Jesus paid the price for my sins. He was the sacrificial lamb, and so I received him. When I received him, then the Lord saved me. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
And so I, by the grace of God, I repented. I turned to God from my false religion. I turned to God from my self-righteousness. Received Christ by faith. I got marvelously, gloriously, wondrously, amazingly born again.
That's a beautiful testimony. I mean, what the Lord did in your life. It's sort of like the Ethiopian eunuch.
Yes, sir.
He had the scriptures. And,
You
know, but he couldn't understand. He couldn't understand, but he had them. He said, how can I accept some man guide me? Did you say there was somebody influential
yes,
in your life?
There was. God sent me a Philip.
Yes.
And I tend to believe God will always send somebody a Philip. And that Philip was a black sergeant. And when I was in the Army, he found out I was Jewish. One day he came over to me and said, I have a question I've been itching to ask you. Are you a Jew? Now, that can be derogatory, but it could also be okay. I mean,
yes.
And I said, well, what about it? I never had a white guy say, are you a Jew? You know, that's fighting words right there.
Yeah.
I said, what about it? He said, well, I said, I love you.
Oh.
Can you imagine? I never had a white guy ever say that to me. This is a black sergeant, and he starts crying, and he weeps, and he says, I love you. I said, man, I can't understand that. Why would you love me? I'm a Jew. I said, well, I love the Jewish people. Because I want to tell you, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a Jew.
Oh.
He's my Jewish Savior. And he came to die for my sins, just like was prophesied. And I like you to know him just like I know him.
Yeah.
And he's the one that showed me the way. And he didn't even know I was reading a King James Bible.
Right.
But I found out that was a King James Bible I had in my hand. Somebody gave my Uncle Shep a King James Bible. And I started reading it. And at that same time I'm reading the New Testament, God sends me this dear black sergeant that loved God like I've never seen.
Yeah. Okay?
Points me to Christ. I get saved. And then from there, the Lord calls me to preach and start Hope Israel Baptist Mission. And as a result of that, last year, God let us reach a milestone of 80 million gospel tracts been sent around the world.
Wow.
250,000 Bibles. God's allowed us to help establish a good number of churches, and we've seen tens of thousands of Jewish people come to know their Messiah. And so we're very grateful to God.
Amen. And Hope of Israel is not just directed towards evangel evangelizing the Jewish people, but all people.
Yes.
But you were telling me you've seen more and more interest from Jewish people than ever before?
Than ever.
In how many years of ministry?
Well, it's just been about over 35 years.
35 years?
Yes, sir.
And so there is a interest from Jewish people like never before.
Like an awakening.
Yes.
Yeah, they want to know. They're tired of being kept in the dark.
Right.
When I was young, I was forbidden to mention the name Jesus or read the New Testament for fear of excommunication.
Right.
So that fear is being removed because Jewish people know there's got to be something going on. And even among the Orthodox Jews, there is a messianic movement. They are looking for the Messiah, see?
Right.
And many of the old-time rabbis, many of them, also acknowledged the messianic prophecies were talking about a suffering Savior, one who would come and have to be the sacrificial lamb. They believed that. Whether or not they acknowledged Christ to be the one,
right,
we don't know. But the old-time rabbis,
yeah,
acknowledged those messianic prophecies were pointing to the one who would come and take our place.
Right. Our time is going to quickly get gone. But I have heard testimony from different sources, missionaries, reading in books, and a lot of Jewish people seem to not know about Isaiah chapter 53, about the suffering Savior. I've heard of rabbis and those going to school.
They're forbidden.
That say, I never knew anything about that, but it's right there in the Bible.
Hey, let me say something right now, real quickly. My own mother,
uh-huh,
and my stepfather, who is a sage, he's very steeped in the Kabbalah and the mystic writings, okay? I told him to go look at a 1931 edition of the Jewish prayer book that's based on writings that go over 1,000 years old. And I told him to turn to that one, as is put out by the guy Phillips and the Hebrew publication company. And on page 239, I believe it was that page, 239, you look there and see what it says. You know what it says? It quotes Isaiah 53 and attributes that to the Messiah.
Right.
Now, they took that out now. You look into a Jewish prayer book and it is not there. Wonder why they took it out.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. I enjoyed that testimony. That was a blessing.
Amen, brother.
We were going to talk about a few more things, but I'm glad you took time to tell about that. You never know. There might be somebody listening in today. They're empty on the inside, searching, lost, depressed.
Yes.
No hope. No future. What's it all about? Why did all those bad things happen? Where's God and all that? The Lord's real. The Lord's not an absentee landlord. And but only Christian people can understand. Of course, that's Amen. The Lord coming. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I praise the Lord today. And we do want to take a minute, invite you out to this meeting. There's going to be preaching on Israel, prophecy, so many things going on in the world. 1 minute to go, it's hard to get into any of that. But come to the meeting. Come to the afternoon. Come one night. You are invited. This is not just for Baptists. It's not just for Christian people. But if you are interested in knowing more about these things, the end times, we're living in the last days. Evidence all Absolutely. Around about us. We'd love for you to come out to the meeting. It would be such a blessing. And so we're planning on being there. And Brother Freed's going to be preaching. Brother Tony Hudson is going to be preaching as well during the night services. That starts tomorrow night at 7 p.m. If you cannot be there, we'd love for you to pray for us.
It's going to be at Bible Way?
That is at Bible Way Baptist Church. There's a blue and white tent set up right beside the church there. Weather permitting, they'll be in that tent. All right. Noah's going to come give the contact information. Thank you, Brother Freed, for being here. We've really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. 4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.